Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
Now, first up then, we better start to take a look at the business stories and indeed the front pages of this morning's papers. I'm delighted to be joined by businesswoman and broadcaster Nora Casey, and also joined by Kieran Hancock, the business editor with the Irish Times. Welcome, one and all.
Thank you.
Hi, Bobby.
Sorry to start on a negative, but the front page of the Irish Mail says that it's a PR stunt, a directive for frontline Gardaí to police the roads for 30 minutes per shift has been described as a useless PR exercise and a sticking plaster for what is a horrendous wound. It's a tough story, but like 63 people, Nora, have already died on our roads this year. If the trends continue, it'll be our worst year on record and could be as high as 225 people. And then we all know that's 225 families right across the country. So it's a blight that needs to be tackled. But there seems to be this underlying sort of communique from, I suppose, unmentioned parties that you know, there's still a row within the Gardaí. You detect that.
There's a row between all parties concerned with issues around road traffic accidents. So, like, over the last week, you know, the RSA, the Road Safety Authority, has come out and criticised the Gardaí. They've raised issue around enforcement. So that's in the bailiwick of the judiciary. People have talked about you need to fix the roads. You know, we all go out and get our NCT to have our cars fixed for driving worthiness, and yet most of the roads in the country are not fit for driving worthiness. So then the Gardaí enter the fray because obviously there's a very real issue in the number of Gardaí who are currently dedicated to road policing. Drew Harris does the obvious but ultimately absolutely useless thing of saying, I know how quickly to increase the hours. I'll just tell every Gardaí to spend 30 minutes a day. But, you know, firstly, we've spent most of the last 2 years talking about how overworked the Gardaí are, how there aren't enough of them working in community policing, issues around violence and troubles on the streets. So,
by the same token, though, you know, we have to do something, and it is action. It is welcomed by the RSA.
Yeah.
And I, you know, it's.
But is that politics, Bob? Because
they kind of threw
the Gardaí under the bus, and then the Gardaí say, oh, we'll do this.
But if it does, if it saves one life by more people out there checking and doing what. Like, when's the last time you saw a road check? I haven't seen one in 3 years.
Sorry, I'm up and down the country
COVID
all the time.
Was the last time.
I see lots of them. But I think the honest truth is it's not just one thing. Until you do tackle issues around road safety, which is to do with the quality of the road infrastructure, issues around educating young people. I listened to an amazing piece actually about young people over in the west of Ireland talking to people who are survivors and people who are devastated victims of car accidents. And things like that really help. You know, the policing issue, that's a root and branch review of how road policing works. I mean, we've seen such a huge decline in the number of, you know, the number of vehicles licensed in Ireland have gone up by 460, I think, and the number of police dedicated to road policing has gone down by, you know, 400,000. So, you know, how is that sustainable? It's not. We've got 1.9 million, I think, licensed road users on the road currently.
Okay, we'll leave it there. Kieran Hancock, welcome to the programme. Finan Sheen is writing in today's Independent about tax credits, school books, crash grants, and telling us that Budget 2025 is poised to be the mother of all giveaways.
Yeah, we've
had, no surprise there, I suggest.
No, I suppose not. No, we've had a couple of big giveaway budgets in recent years because of COVID and other issues as well, because of the cost of living packages that they put in place. So we shouldn't forget that. But what we do know is that the government is awash with money. And what we do know as well is that there has to be an election by March, and there's only one budget to go before then. So I think we can take it as read that Michael McGrath, the Minister for Finance, will indeed be splashing the cash. And in his piece, they're having their Ardèche Fianna Fáil this weekend. And in his piece, Sheen is sort of highlighting some of the areas that they might look at in terms of giving money back to people. So a higher tax credit to allow the first 20 grand of wages to be tax free. At present, it's 18,750. cutting the highest rate of PRSI for employers, that would be part of a business support package. Free school books all the way up to Leaving Cert, that they're already in place up to Junior Cert, and a bit more besides, probably doing a lot of little things to make sure that you just end up with more money in your pocket at the end of every month.
It's interesting, Nora, if we move to our next story, which is really about, you know, the stress on business to be profitable, to make money, to stay in business. There was a new report out which examined five measures that were introduced by the government in the last budget, those being an increase in the minimum wage, auto-enrolment for pensions, a hike in PRSI, and the increase in sick leave and parental leave. All came at the same time and all have impacted business massively. So, you know, listening to Kieran's analysis there of Finan Sheehan's piece about the giveaway, business is really struggling.
Yes, and on top of that, the energy costs, you know. Yeah. So, like, here is the perfect moment for SMEs. They struggled through COVID. They were all trying to catch up with digital extra costs. And then they come out of COVID and they're hit with all of these increases, not just the ones you've mentioned, but all kinds of cost of living increases. And there was a survey back in February, which you covered, actually, Bobby, where 70% of them were fearful. Now, that's not a small amount. 70% of SMEs saying they're afraid and worried about the future because of the cost rise. And the government's response then is to pit workers against business. So that's not a fair way to do it, you know, because workers obviously have their own, you know, they've their bills to pay, their own energy costs, their own cost of living increases. So instead of them saying, really, VAT is a significant issue, and the new enterprise minister said he's kicking that down the road to October to the budget. And, you know, you just heard Kieran saying there's free books, there's free this, there's free that, this. But top of the list really should be issues around what is the economic infrastructure you need to put in place for SMEs to survive. It's not a quick fix. And they definitely shouldn't renege on the benefits.
And you do want to see employees be fairly rewarded. Yeah. But like, I even go back to my own years in business. The last minimum wage I can remember in my time was 10 euros plus. It's now 12.70, the living wage, which a lot of businesses aspire to give to their employees, is now nearly 15 euro.
I know. But the difficulty is that, you know, you give these things and they were promised to workers. And Jed Nash, I think, you know, he said something that he didn't like, the mood music that was coming out, you know, which was a great way to put it, because really all the talk was we might be rowing back on those benefits in order to help SMEs rather than we need to give more support, economic and otherwise, to SMEs in order for them to weather the storm of the cost increases.
What's your own take on this, Kieran?
Yeah, I suppose there's a fine line between supporting businesses that have a viable future, providing supports to businesses that who wouldn't be able to survive without those supports. The government obviously did a lot during COVID.
Yeah, it's difficult when you're a government and you have to do a kind of a blunderbust.
Yeah,
you know, and there isn't a one sort of scenario fixing all.
Exactly. And the problem for the government with the VAT rate, which was applied to hospitality very successfully post our time in the bailout, you might recall, to get the tourism industry back up on its feet, and it worked very well. But the hospitality industry became addicted to it, essentially, and wanted it left in place forever. And, you know, it was essentially a boost to the bottom line for businesses rather than a price cut for consumers.
Well, I think the way they're looking at it now, and I think there's being a separation of hotels and restaurants around this, in that
the problems around the VAT rate was that the hotels recovered very successfully, and then they were, you know, they were charging, and in some cases, very saucy rates.
And a lot of hotels have gone for another model now where they're not hotels anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, again, it's hard to generalize on this, but, you know, I was looking at the Sunday Business Post did a thing last weekend, and they had like 20 restaurants across the four different provinces, 80 restaurants that they were a little narrative on each one. So many of them were new businesses. I was kind of shocked that where are all, like, the demise in the sector has been acute.
And Bobby, when you talk about survivability, and that's used all the time, like you and I sat in Dragonstone, we know how difficult it is to predict the survivability of a business. I spend most of my life talking to businesses and trying to figure out, can you get them back from the brink? All of those really experienced SME owners that have gone, you know, gone to the wall? How do we bring them back into the fray, you know?
And, you know, then you couple that with the perfect storm of not being able to get staff, all that stuff of trying to run a business with those stresses.
Yeah, it's huge.
The financial stress and even the operational stress of trying to just stay open.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think they should deal with it sooner than the budget. They shouldn't kick it down the road, you know.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's going to happen, but I agree with you. Kieran, interesting, Arda, debt nearing 11.2 billion. It's a serious figure. Again, this business would have had roots in the glass bottle site down in Ringsend there. But it's a huge entity, but its borrowings are, I suppose, coming under some scrutiny.
Yeah, you're right, Bobby. It does have its roots in the former Irish Glass and Ringsend, which is long closed, of course. So it's been focusing overseas in its operations in terms of glass and other packaging. And it's this acquisition M&A
strategy
that they pursued for many years, which has got them into this situation where essentially they have $12 billion in debt and they've $800 million in cash. S&P has them ranked at junk status because of that and because of the risks around the capital structure that they have at the moment. So they've hired some US law firms and investment banks to try and figure out a path to sustainability. It's led by Paul Coulson, who'd be a very well-known figure in Irish business circles. And the problem they have is that, this wasn't an issue for many years because money was cheap. It was effectively free, but it's far from free now because of the interest rate rises.
Yeah.
So I'd say they're hoping, first of all, that the central banks around the world will start cutting rates and that'll change the mood music in markets a little bit. And they'll also be hoping that the law firm and the investment bank that they've hired can find a way with the bondholders to try and reduce the debt in some way. And I don't know what they're going to have to give up to do that, but it's going to be a tricky negotiation.
Yeah, yeah, very interesting. Nora, back to matters of Leitrim, place I know you well. I know you know well and love.
Yes.
With the Shed Distillery in Leitrim, investing $10 million to double whiskey-making capacity. I saw their new whiskey. It's a Drum Shambo single pot still Irish whiskey in a Marsala cask.
Yeah.
Retailing at €89. A beautiful piece of art, piece of work. Didn't taste it, but it's wonderful to see investment like this in a county such as Leitrim.
Yeah, Pat Rigney is just the local superstar in Drum Shambo. I was down there last week and we sit in various Leitrim bodies together. My mother's from Leitrim, so I'm only half and half. But you know what's wonderful is the whole community is so proud of what he's done. And I'm travelling all the time now to the States. And you see Gunpowder Gin everywhere you go. It's now up there with the premium brands. So what everybody knows in this industry is it doesn't take too long to make vodka and gin, and he has both, and they're beautifully produced and beautifully packaged, but whiskey is where all the money is. And Pat has very cleverly said, I'm going to stick to the really premium end of the market, which is the single pot still whiskey. He is very much a boutique supplier. These are small batch. The caskets are everything. As you know, maybe over 50% of the casket is influencing the liquid that comes out. I've done the tour so many times and I've tasted the whiskey. He's totally right in his estimation and he's funding it from his own resources. He's not bringing in investors. He very proudly talks all the time that he has no third-party suppliers. Anything you taste is made on the premises and his own distillery, you know.
Yeah.
And he's a big employer. He's a bit like Neville Maguire. I think when you get one entrepreneur who decides not to go to Dublin or to head to New York or to Silicon Valley and they stay in a local community, they can have a huge impact.
Kieran, if we look at the numbers in the Shed Distillery, they're impressive. Talk to us about them.
Yeah, so revenue last year was up by 7.5% to about €18 million. The profit was just shy of €4 million. The accumulated profits, so the amount of profits they've generated over the last number of years, stood at €15 million. So this has given them the resources to do this investment over time. It's a €10 million investment taking place essentially over a period of about 4 years. And the idea is to double the capacity and produce about 120,000 cases per year targeted at the premium end of the market.
Yep.
The US is its biggest export market.
And just briefly, Nora, on this, I just picked a related story because a carpenter turned Cooper helps keeping the ancient craft alive at the Cork distillery.
Yeah, and I couldn't believe, you know, he's the second in half a century. I just couldn't get over that. And he's just, his name is Derek Cronin, isn't it? And
Cronin, yeah.
Yeah. So going back to, like, I do think a lot of things in almost all industries are going back to ancient traditions and, you know, leaning in on things that we did in the past that perhaps we need to bring back into today's, especially when Irish distillers are really struggling with these smaller batch whiskey. I'm a member of the Whiskey Club.
I was also intrigued to see that there's over 2 million wooden casks.
Yeah.
In Irish distillers in Middleton.
Yeah.
So someone has to look after those.
Yeah, and also you just said yourself that the cask, the Marsala cask that Pat Rigney invested in, is now retailing at what, €89?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it increases the price significantly.
Yeah. Irish distillers, of course, has been leading the way and leading the charge on Irish whiskey now for many years.
Yeah, I know, and it's a great story. So, man, long may it last. Michael O'Leary, Kieran, there's 100 million there. It seems to be within his grasp, but and again, this is down to his remuneration bonus if he kept the stock in Ryanair, what is it, above €20 for a number of weeks, he gets a 100 million bonus to click in.
Yeah, that's right. There's a second target as well, which could trigger it, and that's Ryanair hitting a 2.2 billion annual profit. They're not quite there on that side of it, but the point that's been made by my colleague Joe Brennan is that if you look at the ADRs that are trading in New York around Ryanair. And Ryanair is an unusual trading story because it's an airline, because it's based in the European Union. It has to have the majority of its shareholders in the European Union. That's just an EU law. So they've come up with this way of allowing US investors to get a slice of the action, if you like, through ADRs, which are trading certificates in the US for foreign companies. The price that's being paid for those ADRs at the moment is at a premium to what the ordinary shares are trading at in Dublin, let's say. But if the ADR price was the one to be applied, then Michael O'Leary would be in line for his 100 million euro bonus.
Wow.
But he's got a bit to go because it's related to Dublin, so he's still got a bit to go.
So I see that he said that if Premiership footballers are earning effing 20 million a year and Kylian Mbappe is being paid 130 million, he reckons he's good value for Ryanair. I love him. And Nora, a different kind of property crash playing out in Dublin. Interesting piece in the Irish Examiner. Mm. So it's a Cork view, more or less, on the Dublin property scene. In summary, it looks to me that the office rental market is significantly challenged.
Exactly, but that's a global issue now. You know, in the piece itself, it talks about from New York. I'd say everywhere I go, everybody talks about half-empty commercial properties. People don't want to go back to work full-time. Hybrid working is playing havoc with desks arrangements and where they put people in empty spaces, and bosses like to see eyes and bodies in front of them, you know. So this one is really about the North Docks. What they're talking about is the Dublin Docklands, obviously, you know, was a hive of activity. And during COVID, all of the American multinationals, particularly Meta and others, went on a big splurge of hiring more and more staff. Then they come out of it and they need to reduce their costs significantly. So they've been reducing their staff, which means they're significantly reducing their leasing. And that's had a huge impact on some of those buildings down there. In fact, they make the point that there was a building that was leased by Meta, which was brought into a creditor, you know, taken over by a creditor last year. So it looks pretty gloomy for North Docks, because they were working very specifically in that vibrant sector, which has carried us out of the recession. They also make the point that that area was really where Anglo-Irish Bank's skeleton of a building was. And they were, you know, it really was driven by foreign direct investment. So
no, I think it's a good piece. It's worth a read. It's in the Irish Examiner. Last word to you, Kieran. Blow on Baileys to see how much is left. Are you able to see through the bottler? How do you know how much is left in the bottle?
Yeah, I thought it was April 1st, and this was an April Fool's Day gag, but it seems
apparently not. It's not.
Yeah, some...
Explain, if you would.
Some bright spark has come up with an app called Sound Scales, which will help you determine how full or empty your Bailey's bottle is. Because it's a dark-coloured bottle, it can sometimes be difficult to judge, particularly if you've already had a couple of nips of Bailey's, I suppose. So apparently the sound scales, by blowing on the top of the bottle, this app will be able to determine how full your bottle is. I think it's a mad story, and I can't imagine too many people downloading it.
That's how crazy life is.
It's marketing, now, it's
really.
Marketing, folks.
The best piece of advice, I think, comes at the end of the article, where plumbers apparently have been, I didn't know this, plumbers have been warning people not to pour Baileys down the
sink. Blocks the sink.
Because it could block your U-bend, so there you go.
All right, we'll have to leave it there. Nora Casey.
Thank you.
Kieran Hancock, thank you for a great review of the papers. Now I have a competition for you, because Standard Life have launched their brand new podcast, The Ultimate Guide for Women and Pensions, hosted by Sonia Lennon. The podcast tackles strong topics related to retirement and indeed pensions. Guests for this four-part mini-series include Mary Bright, Loretta Dignam, Cliona Hughes and Philip Brannan. Standard Life International DAC is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
It looks pretty gloomy for North Docs, because they were working very specifically in that vibrant sector which has carried us out of the recession. They also make the point that that area was really where Anglo-Irish Bank's skeleton of a building was, and they were, you know, it really was driven by foreign direct investment. So
no, I think it's a good piece. It's worth a read. It's in the Irish Examiner. Last word to you, Kieran. Blow on Baileys to see how much is left. Are you able to see through the bottler? How do you know how much is left in the bottle?
Yeah, I thought it was April 1st, and this was an April Fool's Day gag, but it seems
apparently it's not.
Yeah, some...
Explain, if you would.
Some bright spark has come up with an app called Sound Scales, which will help you determine how full or empty your Baileys bottle is. Because it's a dark-coloured bottle, it can sometimes be difficult to judge, particularly if you've already had a couple of nips of Baileys, I suppose. So apparently the sound scales, by blowing on the top of the bottle, this app will be able to determine how full your bottle is. I think it's a mad story, and I can't imagine too many people downloading it.
That's how crazy life is.
It's marketing,
now,
it's
really.
Marketing, folks.
The best piece of advice, I think, comes at the end of the article, where plumbers apparently have been, I didn't know this, plumbers have been warning people not to pour Baileys down the sink.
Blocks the sink.
Because it could block your U-bend, so there you go.
All right, we'll have to leave it there. Nora Casey.
Thank you.
Kieran Hancock, thank you for a great review of the papers.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.